If you heard Stephen's prayer, unless he was sleeping, I was sitting in the back there. He also prayed, "We are the redeemed." Do you remember that? So as we are the redeemed, then we must behave as the redeemed. You're writing notes, right? Most of what I say is from the Bible, so put these things down, because all our memories have holes in them. They're not holy memories, but they are full of whole memories. You're being hidden by the trees, so you want to move this set. Can we see? No? Okay. Why? Because of color? Yes. What does that say? You want to change the color? There's too much light also, right? So as the redeemed, we need to behave as redeemed people. Redeemed, that word means we were you know what redeemed means? That word redeemed means we were sold or pawned. P-A-W-N-E-D, pawned. Now, most of you all may not be used to the concept of P-A-W-N. You're more used to the P-O-R-N. Okay, but P-A-W-N is in the poor homes, in families that couldn't afford their living, every once in a while, they took their jewelry or even their pots and pans and went to a shop. It happens even in the United States. And they give it to the store that buys it from them and gives them some money. And then when they get over their poverty and they have enough money, they go back to the store and they get the same things, whether jewelry or their pots and pans, and they redeem, they buy back for a price. Not the same price, maybe. They have to pay extra. So it's sacrificial. They buy back what they had already given. Now, the word redeemed in the Bible is used for salvation. Our salvation is more than what you think is salvation. And the word redeemed gives us the idea that we originally belong to God. Did you know that? You originally belong to God, but you went your own way. Whether you sinned big sins, terrible sins, or pure sins. You know, we have these misconceptions about good and bad sins. You went your own way, and that is rebellion against God. You were not going in God's ways. But you belong to God by right of His having made you. Who made you? Who created you? God. So if He made you, He owns you. Whether you understand that or not, then He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price to buy you back to Himself. So that's the concept, the idea of redemption, being redeemed. Now, the very fact that you went your own way means what? You were doing whose will? your own will. Now you may not intelligently think that way, that you were doing your own will, you were doing your own thing, you were being cool, whatever your lingo is. Find it hard to keep up with your modernization of language, but if you were doing your own thing, you're doing your own will. And at this camp, we're considering not how to find God's will. That sentence is totally to be thrown out. Because if you say, I have to find God's will, then you are, maybe even without thinking, you are actually thinking God's will got lost somewhere. So we have to search for it. Or you have to keep searching till you find God's will. No, no. God's will is not lost. So you don't have to go on a search. It's not even a treasure hunt. God's will is not lost. God's will is clear. And so the red which is missing, right? It says, oh, it's there now. God's will is easy to know but hard to do. God's will is easy to know but hard to do. Everything in your notes, which is an outline form, is not going to be on the screen. Or everything on the screen is not on your paper. All right? The fill in the blanks will be on the screen. You have to catch those words. All right? So next one, just stay with this idea, you know, it's easy to know, hard to do. Why is it easy to know? Why is it hard to do? Two ideas in your mind that should stir up your thinking. Let's move on. Yeah, don't let it flow, okay? So we pray. You got a filler there, right? We pray. Look up the text. You have your Bibles on no table, so you have to be quick at it. What do we pray? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Now, I don't know how you're going to do both. Just one click at a time. Okay. One more click. Yes. What do we pray? Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. And do we really understand what we are praying? Your kingdom come, but your will be done. And the rest of that prayer, if you have your text in front of you, your Bible open, as it is in heaven, so on earth. Who's on earth? You are on earth. Don't think of everybody. Think of you yourself. So you're saying, as in heaven, your will is being done. How is God's will being done in heaven? 100%? A little less? Okay, let's have some interaction, okay? Is it being done joyfully or, you know, sometimes Angel Gabriel says, hey, you know, let me think about it. Is it joyfully, willingly? How else? What about immediately? What about even before God says it, they are ready to do it? So as it is in heaven, so I living on earth, this is the desire we're expressing. Thy will be done. Immediately, joyfully, willingly, wholeheartedly, 100%, etc., etc. As you imagine, God's will is being done in heaven, you are praying, your will be done. That's a very clear expression of your desire. Next, one click at a time. Okay, next. And then Paul prayed. You got a filler there, right? I hope you've opened to the text. Try and open the text as soon as you can. What did Paul pray? He prayed this. For this reason also, because you are all saved, you are the redeemed. Since the day we heard that you Colossians were saved, I have been praying this, that you may be filled. What does the word filled mean? Half full, half empty. Completely full, to the brim. With the knowledge. Knowledge is what? Is it in the stomach? Is it in the emotions? Knowledge is where? Yes, you have to use your brain. I hope you understand at this camp that your brain is more important than your emotions. Don't be an emotional Christian. If you're an emotional Christian, you're an unstable Christian. So you have to have knowledge in your brain of what? Paul is praying, from the day I heard you are saved, redeemed, I'm praying that you will be 100% filled to the brim with information, knowledge of His will. How? In all wisdom. Wisdom is a brain thing or a stomach thing? Or a gossip thing? You want to know about others. Wisdom is knowledge in practice. The definition of wisdom is taking your information and being able to live it out. Being sensible. Most of us are pretty not sensible. I won't use the other word, right? I don't want to hurt too much of your ego. Alright, that you may walk. See? With wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can walk. Walk translates behave. How? Worthy of the Lord. What does worthy of the Lord mean? A little pleasing or fully pleasing? Yes, look at those words. And when you do that, you will be what? Productive, fruitful, not stagnant anymore. You're taking notes or you're looking at my handsome face? Everybody, notes, okay? Being fruitful in every what? Good work. We will be talking about good works at the end. What is good works? And then increasing. See that other word? Not only fruitful, but it's expanding, becoming more and more, increasing. How were you last year? Okay, we didn't have camp for 2 years, but what happened? Did you stagnate? See, increasing in what? The knowledge of God, not in Bible knowledge and information only, not theology, not doctrines. You should have that, but you will be increasing in a personal intimacy with God. See, if you are filled with the knowledge of His will, all this will happen. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Just think how powerful God is, how gloriously powerful He is. Meditate on each of those phrases and just think, according to that, equal to that glorious power, you will be what? Strengthened with all might. That's how tough you will be in a very, very tough world. Is this world very difficult to live in? If you don't think so, then you're not really thinking as you live. Everything is being done for you by mama and papa, dada. It's high time you realized that this is a cruel, deadly, corrupt, evil world. And you will become able to face it with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering. With what? What's the next word? With joy. See? You know, it's so hard. I don't know. I keep sinning. And, you know, I don't know how to face life. And I don't have enough money. And nobody loves me. No, I will have joy as I face the tough world. Because I have God's power. Long suffering. See, I can take it. And be joyful. Not happy, happy, happy. But joyful. And thankful. Giving thanks. All right, next. I hope you're getting to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said shabash to those who do God's will. And what does that verse say? People were crowding around and someone came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, your mom is wanting to meet you and your brothers and sisters. And he said, look at my disciples. Look at my disciples. These are my mother, my sister, my brothers. When and if you do God's will, what are you called by Jesus? A brother, a sister, a mother even. I mean, the Lord of heaven and earth is saying, yes, I own you in intimate relationship, much more than my blood relationships. Next. What is Jesus doing? He's giving us, in Jesus we have, look at those fill in the blanks, the supreme example of what? Willingness to what? Do God's will. Whatever the cost. Have you filled in the blanks? What did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? And why was he sweating drops of blood? And why did angels come to minister to him? What was the struggle he was having? It was a struggle to think, I'm going to be sin. The innocent one from heaven and earth, pure Jesus. He is meditating, reflecting on, I'm going to be nailed to the cross. And that is not the issue. But the sins of the elect, the redeemed, are going to be on me. And I'm paying the price. If only this didn't need to happen. But nevertheless, what? At any cost, I'm willing to do the Father's will. Nevertheless, next. What's your text? A lot of Bible verses. The Bible is very clear that only is very clear that only those who do God's will live forever. Look at what it says. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If the love of the Father is not in you, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Are you born again? See, don't take this verse and think it's talking about, only talking about, don't love the world. The redeemed have the love of the Father in them. So, actually, spontaneously, we lose the love for the world. We keep preaching and thinking as if it's such a big struggle not to love the world. It is, because we are in this side of heaven and we're still struggling with residual sin. But we no longer have the nature of sin in us. We have a new nature. We're in Christ. The love of the Father in us is in us. And then see what it says. Verse 17, the world is passing away, the lust thereof, but what? He who does the will of the Father lives for, who lives forever? What is this eternal life? See, you don't have eternal life, you don't live forever in heaven with Jesus if you don't do the will of the Father. So, I'm trying to help you understand, the Bible is saying it's the redeemed. If you are redeemed, if you're saved, if you're born again, what do? The will of God. From the heart. That's what you love to do. You may fail, you may not be perfect, but that's what you want to do. That's what your life direction is. Everyone watches you says, hey, why are you different? I'm doing the will of God. I'm pleasing God. Next. The will of God should be, have you missed something? Was there a Okay, next. Okay, so what, huh? Next. God's will is important to know, understand, because I'll come to those Ephesians 6:6 if it's not there. You want to do God's will. I mean, if you're redeemed, do you want to do God's will or you don't want to do God's will? I mean, do you have to think about it? Hey, do I really want to do God's will? Let me think about it. Are you born again? Yes or no? I'm not asking you, do you remember date, time, place? Did you have some emotional experience? Did you cry? Did you repent? I'm asking you, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Then you want to do God's will. See, equal. Child of God equals, I want to do God's will. Next. Okay, get to Ephesians 6:6. Somebody read it, please.
Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as born servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
The will of God should be for a bee. From the heart, right? But should be done from the heart. Should be done from the heart. Not to please someone. It doesn't matter. I mean, I want to do God's will because now I'm fallen in love with a believer. See? That's fake. Now I'm going to marry a believer. You know, she or he's going to church. Now this one will help me to become more willing to do God's will. My mama says so. My dad says so. Next, let's summarize what we've understood so far and try and remember the verses as we summarize this. What's one click at a time, okay? Please recall the Bible verses. So what is the first thing? We express desire to do God's will in prayer, right? Matthew? Yes. Next. We understood what? That we understand and embrace the rich consequences of being filled with the knowledge of His will. Remember which passage? Colossians? Yeah, be filled, strengthened with power, etc., etc. Then next, Jesus thinks of you as His brother, sister, or mother when you do His will. What should that do to you? Be encouraged by this. He stands with you as a brother, as a sister. And just think who He is. And backing Him is all heaven and all of creation. Next, remember Jesus as your supreme example. Where did He show that? In the garden of Gethsemane, and then on the cross, to do, not just to say and think about it, not just to pray, but to do. Next. You're really born again, you live forever, you have eternal life if you spontaneously want to do God's will. Next. And remember, it's the Father's will. He's Abba Father. Don't just enjoy saying Abba Father. He says, hey, are you doing what I like you to do? Next. He wants you to do it from the heart. Not to please anybody. Except, there's one person you want to please all the time. Who? God. Not even your spouse. Next. Do you think that God's will is not easy to know? Stop at that question. Do you think that God's will is not easy to know? If all this is true that we've talked about, when we say, thy will be done, Jesus says, if you do my will, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my mother. if Paul prays the way he prayed in Colossians and Ephesians and elsewhere, do you think it's hard to know and to understand what the will of God is? Do you think it's hard? You have a Bible. This book tells you what? God's will. Don't complicate it. It's easy to know. What do you have to do? Open the book, read it. And all of us have had the privilege of having some education. Some, huh? And if you say you don't have time, then check whether you're really saved. How come? You may be 10 years old in the Lord, and you still say, I don't know. I learned this, I don't know Christianity from the time when I was starting up Love Maharashtra. And I was in the OM office with Alfie Franks and Ray Iker. And one of their OMers, young men, came to them and said, the fax machine is broken down. So Alfie said, well, what should you do about it? He said, I don't know. Do you know where to go to repair it? I don't know. And so in the late 70s, I learned that this I don't know is a curse. And I began to think, what is better than saying I don't know? If you really don't know, you don't know, right? But why can't you change the I don't know full stop to I don't know, but I am going to find out. I'm hungry to know. Why do you stay with I don't know? I don't know. So TK, no one told me, no one followed me up, no one prayed for me, no one bullied me, no one discipled me. Have you heard these excuses? Have you got a Bible? Have you got a brain? Have you got eyes? And do you have access to God? You will know. It's easy to know. But why is it hard to do? Next. Do you think that God's will is hard to do? Most of you should answer yes, it is hard to do. Why? What comes in the way of doing it? I don't want to hear the answers. But I challenge you to throw those answers in the garbage and stop giving those answers to yourselves. I don't need your answers. If it's easy to do, do you think God is making fun of you by saying, this is my will, you can't do it? Is God like that? Or he's saying, see, I'm telling you what I want you to do, and I'm giving you the capacity to do it. He's not making fun of me. He's not making fun of you. Better go from this camp saying that to yourself and being convinced about it. Next. God's will is really about being what? A normal Christian. As a young teenager, I just come to Christ. I was in an Anglican church, St. Paul's in Pune. And there was an English lady from an Anglican background who was very involved in EU, but also in our church Bible study in St. Paul's, Serena Holroyd. And the first thing that she gave me when she found that I was asking questions, first thing she gave me, and don't give this to any Christian. It's a very complicated book written by Watchman Nee. We used to make fun of his name, Watch My Knees. Watchman Nee. It's very complicated because he's very mystical. But I like the title. And the title of that book was The Normal Christian Life. You know, Christian life is normal. Be normal. And it's simple. Don't get so complicated about the Christian life. It's normal, it's simple. If you've given your heart to Christ, and your heart is in the right place with Christ and the Father in heaven, then do you think He's going to let you just wander around like a dope? I don't know. Bow, wow, wow. I don't know. Poor puppy dog. Or pussycat. Let me cuddle you. God's not like that. He's made it simple. Normal. Normal is what you should aim for. Not complicated. Next. God's will is really about being normal. And a normal Christian does what? I want to show my Papa in heaven, Abba Father, that I really am loved by Him. I'm not going to show Him that I love Him. First, I'm going to show Him gratitude. He loves me. My goodness. You know, if I have to go to even my pastor, whoever your pastor is, even he is busier than God. You get it? I'm telling you. I'm not teasing you. You can go to God anytime, right? Do you have to do knock, 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 knock? Who's there? Pastor, you have to say, can I have an appointment with you? Right? Even assistant pastor. Right? With God, you don't have to have an appointment. What does He say in Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse? You can come to Him at any time of need. Anytime. Anytime. 24/7. Did you realize that, Mr. Bansode? Anytime. Pastor is sleeping. Pastor is busy. Pastor has to get cataract operation. Pastor has so many other things. God has nothing else to do but love me. Because He can manage all the stars in the universe while He loves me. See, normal Christian. Next. Traditional teaching on how to know God's will. What are the traditional ways? I hope you're able to write your notes. First, next, trust God. How many of you go to someone and say, I have a little this problem? And then what does the person who's helping you say? Trust God. I'm praying for you. Right? Does it work? Like a band-aid. Or some ice cream. Makes you feel a little comforted. Oh, so-and-so is praying for me. We also go around saying, I'm praying for you. How are you? Nobody understands. I'm praying for you. Don't worry. I'm praying for you. Balm. Not even the balm of Gilead. If you don't know what the balm of Gilead is, Google it, okay? Next. You can look up those verses. It's more than just, I'll pray for you. With all your heart, trust in the Lord. With all your heart. Lean not on your... I'm trusting God, but I have my own opinion. I've got to be practical also. No, Pastor Chris, Uncle Chris, Grandpapa Chris, got to be practical. You are experienced. I can go on and on. No, you have so many. I have to be practical. No, in all thy ways, every way. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Next. See, where there is no... What is on top of that? Yes. Counsel of godly people. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Look at all this. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 20:18. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance. We wage war. Proverbs 24:6. For wise guidance, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. You know the problem I've seen in more than 4 decades of being in the local church? Hardly anyone takes the initiative to ask for guidance. And when do you ask for guidance? When almost in last breath, you know. I'm dying now, you know, help me. I can bury you now. See, there are so many verses that says, if you get guidance, you will be safe. You know why we don't look for guidance? We have to admit need, na? And to admit need, I have to humble myself, na? Right or not? We don't ask. We think we've arrived. We've arrived in Marathi is pochlele. Ani harbara zhadavar स्वतःलाच अडवायचं. See, what a idiotic thing that we have the family of God and we just do our own praying, we do our own seeking, we do our own Bible study, and we don't seek counsel. And even if you don't think you're in need, always be in fellowship. Did you realize that normal Christianity is to be with other believers? Not having coffee or food only and fun, but sharing the word of God and sharing help. And this is good advice. See, if I'm at this level, it's better not to only be with this level kind of friends. Go to someone at a higher level. If you're only at this level of friends, your own level, water finds its own level, no? So you'll remain mediocre like everybody else. Go to someone who is better, more admirable, more respected as a follower of Jesus Christ, who's an example to you. Don't just stay at your own level. Next. Sign and fleece. Remember Gideon in chapter 6 of Judges? Oh, he put the fleece this way, he put the fleece that way. He wanted the water in the fleece, the water without, not in the fleece. Lord, just forgive me one more time. I want a sign. Work sometimes, doesn't work sometimes. How do I know it's working? How do I know? I might be my own fleece. Next. This is coming right. Circumstances. If God closes a door, He'll open the window. And then someone said, when infatuation walks through the door, your reason jumps out of the window. So which window and which door, I don't know. Let's see. Very unstable. Very. It's subjective. Interpretation. Next. God told me. Hare, hotline. God doesn't even have a stupid phone like I have. You know the normal way God communicates to you? Tell me. Anybody know the normal way God communicates? How? Why are you whispering? Louder. Any other way? I don't know any other way. I like John Piper's little blog one time, several years ago. The title was provocative, deliberately so. The title was, God Spoke to Me This Morning. So everyone went, he's become charismatic. He said, God spoke to me today, very clearly, very loudly, except not in my ear. I opened my Bible and I read it and God spoke to me loud and clear. Shut him up. God told me. Someone came to me actually when I was in Miraj decades ago. From Kolhapur. Suddenly he appeared. Mohan, kai kare dai? Are, paate utlo me. And from the zard, you know, there was a little bird who told me, great man of God is coming to Miraj. I said, tomorrow that bird will say, crucify him. Next. Dangerous, right? Next. I feel strongly about this. It's in my bones. I'm convinced. And everybody who loves me agrees with it. Oh yeah, it's a great opportunity. Jump. Very self-confident and extremely what? Dangerous. Next. The etc's. You can think of all the different ways you get guidance. Next. The safest way to be in God's will is to fill your mind. Mind, mind, mind. Underline that. It's here. Uttar Pradesh. Not emotions. Which means you have to take time to read. Stop saying, I don't have time. Make time. With God's word. Then, read God's word. Next. Understand God's word, which means study. Don't just read, 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 read. Study with some study techniques, study principles. Meditate on God's word. Do you read and then think about it all day? Even when you're doing your work, making those calls, running around in your job. And then memorize God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, I know it's in the Bible. I don't know where it is. Maybe in Job. Use God's word in your conversations. When you talk to each other, what are you talking? Oh, you know what happened to Neha? She's pregnant 8 months. That's not God's word. That's wonderful to know. I pray for her. Are you all talking God's word? You know, this is what I read. This is what I memorized. This is what gripped me. I didn't realize this is in God's word. And then say those words. As you share with each other God's word in normal conversation, what will happen? You'll remember it. And it'll become part of your DNA. Obey God's word. Next. Next. Forbidden for Christians. Medium stars. Those things which are part of black magic and white magic. And is there gray also? Ouija boards. Fortune telling. Parrots on the street. Tea leaves. The rosary. Go to the man of God. He put his hand on my head. I tell you, there were people I know who went to Joshua Daniels of Layman's Evangelical Fellowship. They went to Brother Bhakt Singh. the founding elder of Hebron, they went to Brother Dinakaran, all of them, for guidance. And everyone who told me about these things said, our child's marriage ended up in divorce and court cases and so much immorality and bitterness and hatred. The man of God is not there to tell you God's will exactly. You get it? He guides you with God's word. So it's no divination, even Christian divination. Next. Still forbidden. It happens even today. My buddy from the sixth standard in school, and he's still a buddy now. We're 50, 60 years buddies. He came to me saying, my tantric told me I have to sacrifice someone beloved to me. And it's no laughing matter. It really happened. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, the normal, uncomplex thing. Repent and believe in Jesus, no? Don't tell me about Jesus. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations. And he did. He wanted every animal even killed and cleansed out of Canaan. And he doesn't want any of this in heaven and in the new heavens and the new earth. Nothing detestable will be found in eternity in heaven. Next. Now we're looking at God's will revealed. Where? And it is very clear. Very clear. I hope you know that God did something with the Bible which hasn't been done as much with any other religious book. He has got people who have spent their whole lifetime translating from the original languages in every language of this planet. There are very few languages left to be translated. And all of us sitting here have Bibles in our own language, or we know enough English to understand it. And even in the English, there are tons of translations to make it easy. And then we got the Legacy Bible coming. Legacy Bible. So we got so many Bibles, and we can show off about all these Bibles and our knowledge about all the editions. But it's God's revealed, very clear revealed word. About what? What pleases him, that's his will. Don't complicate it. Next. In other words, God's will is very clear. Easy to know. Next. All you need to do is take all the commands in the Bible and understand that God's commands are his will, right? I mean, if he's saying, stand up, then you say, what do you want me to do, Lord? Can you repeat it? I didn't understand. He says, I simply said, stand up. What does it mean, Lord? I mean, come on. It's very clear, right? Very easy. Next, let's take 9 of these to understand God's will for all Christians. It's the same for all. It's standard, normal, simple, revealed. uncomplicated. You don't need, what do they say? To be a rocket scientist, right? You don't even need to go to seminary. Forget of being a rocket scientist. You don't need PTS, right, Caleb? We got a building, but that's okay. We don't need even your pastor. You know, even a child will know if they read. He who runs will know, says Habakkuk. Next. What's the first thing God wants all to experience? Salvation. Let's have those verses. We are just giving the outline, all right? And we'll look at those verses. Second, sense God's holiness and obey Him in His holiness. That obedience is very closely related to God's holiness. You know what holiness means? Otherness. He's separate from all creation and all taint and impurities and imperfections. Then be spirit-filled. Be sanctified. Be submissive. Embrace suffering. Be thankful. Show mercy and justice. And ninth, do good works. I want to say this. If you do just these, the rest will follow. Who should I marry? Should I marry a white girl or black girl? Should I marry a tall, dark and handsome guy? Is this the job I should take? Should I take that transfer? All that will work out. Just get busy doing these nine things. And if you've exhausted doing these nine things, then I'll meet you in heaven. It's a lifetime, right? And then we sing Amazing Grace. 10,000 years are not enough, right? To sing God's praise. You'll be doing all this in heaven. You know, you'll be experiencing perfect salvation in heaven. Do you know that? Salvation is not just for this earth. You'll be so fully saved and you won't have to worry about falling or failing and, you know, whatever else. Will you be filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit in heaven? Huh? Yes or no? Yeah, be confident. Next. See, experience salvation. What are those verses? Let's read them. Mark 1:15. Sorry for the small letters now. It's all Tanuja's fault for not having a bigger screen. What did Jesus do when he started his ministry? What did he say? Repent and believe the gospel. That's Mark 1:15. Next verse. Acts chapter 2. Verses 36 to 38. And all the people who heard were cut to the heart when Peter had preached that first expository message in Acts chapter 2. And they said, what should we do to be saved? And what did he say? Go home. He said, repent and believe and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children. What happened? Bible pai jega. See, salvation is also not just for the forgiveness of your sins, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. If I am filled with the Holy Spirit, does He fill me a little bit at a time? We sing that, fill my cup, Lord. Oh, what? Make me strong, Lord. Some of those hymns are a little misleading, actually, you know. Because He said, you will be what? Is that filled, somewhat filled, or fully filled? Then if the Holy Spirit fully fills me, not to my capacity, but His capacity, all right? Then am I safe? Why am I floundering? See, I think we need to not pump ourselves up with confidence, which is self-confidence and fake confidence, but really biblical confidence. Am I really walking in this fullness of the Holy Spirit? Am I safe? Do you feel safe to be a Christian in this very dark world where you have to make so many choices, so many decisions about what to do in life? Should I meet this one? Should I have relationship with this one? You know, all those questions. Next. Acts 17, verse 30. Paul is with the Epicureans and the Stoics, the philosophers of Athens. Great Greek philosophers. Greatest thinkers of his world. And you know what he said? God commands men everywhere to do what? To do what? It's there. God commands all people everywhere to repent. For what? So that they can be? God commands it. Is it God's will? Repentance is God's will. To get saved is God's will. To believe the gospel is God's will. So you should experience salvation. That's God's will. Are you really saved? Are you fully saved? Are you confident you are saved? Do you have assurance you're saved? If you're saved, do you have confidence you are forgiven? Really washed clean? Are you living the new life? Do you have the new life? And does the Holy Spirit of God fill you? What more do you want? What more? Tell me. Next. This is about God's holiness. You know, Peter. What's the verse? Can you see in the screen? In your... Oh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 23. I've given you more verses. Because read the whole text with me. Read the whole text with me. Therefore, preparing your minds, not your hearts, minds. Your innermost beings and your thinking capacity for action. See, this is all about doing. Be sober-minded, being sober-minded. Get your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. So the whole thing will be climaxing. What will be climaxing? Perfection. Then see the next verse. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, so also be holy. You know, this holiness is not just purity. It is being different. Being different, taste different, talk different, behave different, have a different mindset, have different choices. We used to sing a song which can be a little bit of a fake song. Great change since I was born. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Books I used to read, I read them no more. This used to be the chorus. Just to psych ourselves up that we should change. But we need to change, really change, be different. And if you call on Him as Father, see, look at verse 17. If you call on Him as Father, and this Father judges impartially according to each one's deeds. You know, you might think you're not saved by works. Are you saved by works? No, but God will judge you by your works. God will judge you by your behavior. Are you a Christian? Then God will judge you by your deeds. It's there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as well. The Bema Seat judgment. Not by your talk, but by your behavior. Not your claims. Not how much you can sing and do all the worship. Not how much I can preach, but by my deeds. You were ransomed. Look at that verse 18. You were ransomed from what? The futile ways. Futile means useless. You were ransomed from your useless ways. Look at your past. How useless your past was. Worthless. How much money will you put on getting your past life back? It's a damned life. Worthy of hell. And then it says, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with his precious blood. And then look at verse 21. Through him are believers, are the redeemed in God. See, verse 21. Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that, look at that, your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth. For what? Sincere brotherly love. Fellowship is so important. Love one another earnestly. How? How should you love one another? See, don't just talk about love. From a pure heart. Do you have a purity of motive? And a purity of life in your relationships? When you say, we love each other, brother, sister. In the family of God, in the fellowship of the church. Do you really love with a pure heart? No other motives except to be pure in your relationships. Since you have been born again, verse 23. Next. Be spirit-filled. And what's the classic verse there? Ephesians chapter 5, 17. What is 17? See, 17, not 18 only. 17, it says, therefore do not be foolish. You know that word foolish? Means moron. It's the word moron. You know what a moron is? I had a Guruji called P.T. Chandapilla Caleb. And one day he came to our class in 1976. And he said, did you hear about the moron who took his weekend off? And we all were looking like Dumbos. Have you heard of the moron who took his weekend off? What's the moron's weekend? Not Saturday, Sunday, but this. This is the weekend. See? Top to toe. Has no sense. So stop being foolish. But understand, see, the simple opposite of being a moron in your Christian life is what? What does it say? What? Understand what? So if you say, I don't know what the will of God is, you are a what? Christian? Moron. Look at the mirror and say, hi, Christian moron. Or say, wise up. Christian, from the I don't know to I'm reading the Bible and I'm understanding little by little the will of God. And do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, before you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you understand what the will of the Lord is. And one of the things that he wants you to very, very quickly in understanding God's will is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise you'll be all what? Overwhelmed with the will of God. How to do so much? So he's given you the Holy Spirit. And this is continuous tense. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not once and for all. Moment by moment. Stay filled. Keep being filled. Next. What do we have here? Be sanctified. Sanctified is what? It's the second aspect, not stage, aspect of salvation. The first aspect is what? Justification, when God declares you that you are not guilty. It's like a decision taken by a judge in the court who says you are not guilty. That doesn't make you feel not guilty, but God declares you are not guilty. You are justified before him. Then he keeps washing you and cleansing you through his word. And his Holy Spirit, in a lifelong process, which is the second aspect of salvation called sanctification. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 1 to 8, read the whole passage. You ought to walk, how you ought to walk to please God. Verse 2, you know what instructions we gave you. See, instructions to obey these instructions. Thessalonians, we instructed you, we gave you the word of God, which is clear instructions about the will of God. For this is the will of God. Verse 3, what? Even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. The most troublesome of all sins is this body-to-body sin. And it says that you know how to take care of your own body in holiness and honor. Do you respect your own body, young people and older people? And please understand, sexual immorality is not the prerogative and the monopoly of only young people. It stays with you till the grave, till you die. Even as an old man, I can lust sexually and sin sexually. So we must learn early in life to resist sexual immorality by respecting our own bodies and the bodies of others, both of our own sex, boys with boys, girls with girls, can have wrong sexual relationships. That's what this passage is talking about, that you don't defraud one another in same-sex immorality or in boy-girl, girl-boy, old man, old woman, any which way. And the amount of openness now about incest and, you know, sex in the families, molestation by parents of their own children or brothers and sisters, it's rampant now. In terms of what? It's not as if it was never there. The Old Testament has stories about all this kind of perversions. But now it's more and more declared and acceptable. What are we told? This is God's will, for this is the will of God. What is your understanding of the will of God? I must be sanctified. I must be careful in sexual relationships, whatever my age and whatever my gender. Next. Just go back to that, because the last two verses, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Whoever disregards this does not disregard man, but God, who has given us His Holy Spirit. So when you're sinning as a believer, you're to realize the Holy Spirit is still where? If you're a real Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. And with the Holy Spirit in you, you are still immoral. So how much He must be burning in anguish, agony, and anger at your unrighteousness. Next, be submissive. Oh, this is a jewel that is missing in Christians, right? Be submissive to parents. Peter says in his first letter, chapter 2, to every human institution, and you can read all the institutions listed there, but let me add, to parents, to anyone who's older than you, not when they are asking you to sin, but the attitude of all of us should be, the first response should be what? I want to be humble. I want to submit. Not I want to show I have my own way of thinking. I have my own opinion. Why don't you listen to anyone who is above you, in age or in authority, at home and in your place of work? See, there are some things good in all our cultures. And in, as I was growing up, all my neighbors were non-Christians. I grew up with Muslims, Gujaratis, Sindhis, Parsis. From being a little boy into my teenage years. And in every home I saw, they were not happy homes necessarily, but there was a respect for their parents. There was a respect for the older sister and the older brother. And we Christians have thrown it to the winds. We don't show respect. It not only says be submissive, it says show honor. Find that verse. Where does it say show honor? 17. Yes, honor everyone. Next. 6th. Embrace suffering. This is another. Oh. Come to camp. What kind of room you gave me? That's hardly suffering, you know. I don't like the food. I'm used to this only. In my home, I'm used to this. All right? I dislike, intensely dislike, Sukkot. You know what Sukkot is? That's dry bombil. Stinks like hell. I've never been to hell, but I know it stinks. But I went to Nandurbar for a camp. Again, decades ago, I'm that ancient. And the bell rang, and I was thinking, oh, I'm in a mission compound with all these Swedes. There was only one Swede. And he gave me a steel thali, like Vishal loves to have steel thali, no? The more battered, the better. And in that was Sukkot. So I looked around, you know, I have to behave. I'm the speaker. So I look, there's no wanga even, you know, which I hate too. Oh. And I took the chapati and I put some Sukkot in it. And I thankfully and gratefully ate it. I think I came back and told Lena, with a request, don't give it to me, okay? Only in the mission field I will behave. If you have to, embrace suffering without complaining. For it has been granted to you. It's a privilege. That's what he's saying in this verse. For the sake of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. See, it's the same package. Next, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All who want to be holy, godly, will suffer persecution. Next, Romans 5:3. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering because we know what? That suffering produces what? Do you want to endure till the end? Do you want to finish the race? Do you want to finish? Then you have to suffer. That's the good news. Rejoice in suffering. Because it produces. See, it produces. It's not you will endure. But if you endure suffering, that enduring suffering will produce endurance. Next verse. Be thankful. Oh, you know, every time someone gives me something and I say thank you, they say don't say thank you. So we're pushing each other not to say thanks. Don't say thank you. You're just like our family. Stop being grateful. Take it for granted. Aren't we saying that? Why are you saying thank you? Why are you saying thank you? Don't say thank you. But what does God say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say for. I read a book. It was given, sent by Richard Wurmbrand to my father-in-law. And in that, or no, someone else. There was a fad in those days, no, on power in praise. There's power in praise, prison to praise. Anyone heard those books, titles? Prison to praise, power in praise, rubbish books. So what power is there in praise? Even my bishop who was water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and knew how to speak in tongues, he was teaching me how to have power in praise, power in praise. Just say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Tried it for half the night and nothing happened. I only lost sleep. But in, it's not for, in every situation. So, I had told Roland Oskarson, we went to see someone off at the Bombay airport in those days, which was worse than today. And then he was a little more careful with money than I was, though he had more. And he said, let's go back to Bandra and a local. I said, let's take a taxi. No, 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 we'll save some money. We got out of the train and I said, hey, Roland, all my money is gone, but my pocket is not torn. These Bombay local fellows are very good at pickpocketing. Every penny I had is gone. He said, why are you so happy? You're announcing as if Lena is giving birth to another baby. I said, what else to do, right? Except in every circumstance, give thanks. Be grateful. I don't know why, but it happened. God has something to teach me, right? I still don't know what it was, but I know one thing I learned, I didn't need it. Someone else could take care of me. Next. That someone else was Karen and Chandu, who used to live in Bandra. We had gone to visit them. Show mercy and justice. In Micah chapter 6, what does it say? See, what shall I come before the Lord? What shall I bring to the Lord? That's the question. What shall I bring? What does God want? What can I pay God? Repay God? You know, how should I show my gratitude to God? How should I say thank you to God? You've saved me, you give me everything. How to say thank you? He says, just, he has shown you, O man. See, verse 8. What is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to show mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You want to thank God? Just be humble before Him. You want to say, God, I'm grateful? He says, just be merciful, be kind, be nice to everybody. Be a normal Christian. Don't become a big drama Christian. Next, 9th, all these good works. I should have deleted all these, but see, do good works. Look at the verses on good works. Ephesians 2:10. By grace you were saved through faith, not of works, so that you don't boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, from the time we were elected, that we should walk in them. Next verse. Let your light so shine, Matthew 5:16, that men may see your good works. How many good works have you done today? Did you lift someone's bag? Did you look for someone who's needy? Someone asked me, an elderly Christian asked me, oh, good works, what are good works? I thought Chris, I thought it is winning souls for Christ. I said, who said? See, we spiritualize everything. What is good works? Everyone does it. Hindus do it. Jains do it. Anything good is good. Right? You know the meaning of good? If you know what good means, do good. Why do you do it? Don't worry, the Jains also do it. The Hindus also do it. The Muslims also do it. Why are you doing it? Because you're doing it spontaneously. Good. Go visit someone who's lonely. You have pocket money? Pocket money. And you see someone in need, give it. Is that a good work? Next verse. Colossians 1:10. God is able to make all grace abound. See, He will make all grace abound for what? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. See how many alls there are. All grace will be given to you so that you may abound in what? Not in salvation, but in good works. Next verse. Colossians 1:10. So that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What is walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Fully pleasing to Him. What is fully pleasing to Him? Bearing fruit. Let there be results. I want to see what fruit. What does this verse say? Bearing fruit in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Show me your good works. You'll be judged for your good works. Next verse. Still in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, they are to do good, the rich people. If you have lots of money or more than you need and you've got an increase, you've got a bonus, what should you do with it? I would like to call each one of you when you get a bonus and you tell me, praise the Lord, I got a bonus, give it away. Give it away. Someone even called me and said, you know, I received a surprise. I wasn't expecting it. If you didn't expect it, you didn't need it, right? You could have done without it. Just give it away. Someone has been coming and giving me 20,000 every month in a sealed packet and saying, Chris, I trust you to give it to needy people. Anonymously. Fantastic. I've been able to help so many people. Not with my money. Someone else's money, but it's not even his or theirs. That family belongs to the Lord. Next. Be generous. Be rich in good works. See? Go back. Be rich in good works. Be generous. Ready to share. See, these are all superlatives. Be generous. Be rich in good works. Don't just be rich in theology and doctrine and, you know, good works. Next, we go to the 2 Timothy 2:21. It'll come. Okay, do good works. Continued, see? 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable... There are vessels in every house for honorable use and for dishonorable use. Means for garbage bins and for serving dishes. If you want to be an honorable use vessel, then shun all this that is dishonorable and you'll be ready for every good work. It's not only about telling the gospel. Next. Titus 2:14, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all unlawlessness, from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, ready for what? Who are zealous for good works, not distributing tracts only. Next. And I hope you see that none of these verses say, so you do your good works so that people will come to Christ. We hope they will. See, I'm not motivated by always this, you know, they must get saved, they must get saved. Otherwise, take back the good works. Just do good works. That's spontaneous. That's your DNA. And let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Pray that they will come to Christ. Remind them to be submissive. Titus 3:1. Ready for every good work. Next. Titus 3:8. I want you to insist on these things, is the instruction to elders and pastors, so that those who have believed in God may be careful. See, may be careful, may be particular to do what? To do good works. These things are excellent and profitable. For whom? For both you and those who receive your good works. Next. Let our people learn, it says, to devote themselves to good works. Titus 3:14. Just in Titus chapter 3, how many verses about good works? Next. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Why do we meet in church? Why do we have fellowship meetings? To stir one another to love and good works. So if that is not happening, there's something missing in church meetings. Next. So what's it all about? What's it all about? Easy to do. Easy to know. Because it is all there in the Bible. Next. So we be Bible centered. Next. Easy to know because it is all about being godly. Be God-centered. Next. Easy to know. Because it is all about being a normal Christian. Be Christ-centered. I would have had one more. Be gospel-centered. It's all about the gospel. Easy to know, but hard to do. Why? Because it's all about obedience. Dr. Sheila Gupta came to Christ when she was in CMC Velo learning to be a doctor. And she said she was taken charge of by Brother Bhak Singh, who told her. She then joined Ramabai Mukti Mission to work as a medical doctor there. She said, Brother Bhak Singh told me, you've started your Christian life. One word summarizes how you will succeed in your Christian life. Obedience. It's all there in the Bible. What have you to do? But to do it. Right? If you do all these things, next. Read Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 10, 12 to 22. Then what? God told Israel. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God. To walk in all his ways. To love him. To serve him. The Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. To keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you this day. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them. See, election even in the Old Testament. You above all peoples, as you are this day, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and no longer be stubborn. For the Lord your God is God, God of gods, Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial, takes no bribe. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. And by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the heaven. And as I wrote that last verse, I thought we started as a little home study. Now we are numerous enough to have divided, and people have left, started other churches. So many have come to Christ. So many have grown. You know why? Because the Lord is God. And He loves us and He's chosen us to be His. And we show that we belong to Him by doing His will. Amen. Our Father, we thank You. That it's a joy to know You and to obey You. Amen.